Yes, I shechter to expand it in a certain way, which is perhaps even more powerful than what I can do based on Svarim, but you'll hear personal experience which will bring the message home in a way that I think should be internalized by all of us. The Avoda of Rosh Hashanah, if you look at the Svarim, Sifrei Musar especially, I have a Likud here in various Svarim of the Altuch and Kelim and the Yerucham of the Mir, and a theme that's recurring in their works is the importance of connecting to the Klal, the Klal Yisrael, to the Tzibur. Just want to quote for you three short selections just to bring the idea out. Das Chachma Musar Chel Beis Beis Tzadihei Ko Avodaso Shel Ben Yisrael Rat Yubakesh L'Spalel V'Lido V'Ad HaKlal Yisrael. The Avoda of a Jew is to think about the Klal U'Bavur Atzmo L'Chud Engu El L'Chabes Ech L'Schaber L'Sdabek Im HaKlal Yisrael. Not about myself, it's about how I can connect to Klal Yisrael. Yidvarim Eilu Yotzei Lanu Rav To'eles Dal Kulam HaTo'eles Shetzvichim L'Hasik Midvarim Eilu Ahavas Yisrael Ahava L'Klal Yisrael. In terms of Rosh Hashanah, Chelk Beis of Chachma Musaf Ne'alter from Kelim, Amid Kuf Chavav. Imru Fanei Malchios Shetamlichuni Aleichem. The importance of coronating to the Yachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu, accepting his Malchus, his sovereignty. He explains that what is the notion of a Melech and Malchus when all the subjects come together as one? Vehi Bishur Melech Bis'aseif Rashi Am Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. Tov liyachid lazeh, this mitzvah, v'yahavta racha kamocha, makom lachshov mizeh ha-maimer b'chol yom b'tfila. Whenever we daven, we say a misbiyatziv, and at the end of the bracha, go Yisrael, spas hayom yachad kulam, hodu. We say those words, we connect, the sense of achdus. Without that, it's not a complete malchus shemayim that we're accepting Hashem as melech. We don't connect to all of Klal Yisrael. Finally, in terms of the tfilas themselves, the yom nerom, v'chein tein pachdecha, this is from Das Chachm Musa Chel Beis Vesh Tzadi Dalet. In Rotsa Adam, L'Spal Shizgala Shmo Yizbarach Be'Avriya, we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reveal himself. Ein Lefanav Derech Acher Kiyin L'Spal Al Klal Yisrael. The way to do this is daven for Klal Yisrael. Shema Klal Yisrael Yeshno Gam Hu Yizbarach Yeshno Kan. If Klal Yisrael exists, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. B'Rosh Hashanah Mispal Mamalchias B'Simuchat Hashem Vadecha. When we follow that with and so on. If there's dignity for Klal Yisrael, then there's Kol Shemayim. That's praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this avoda, this aravoda on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, this summer, of course, was a very trying summer for Klal Yisrael, beginning with the kidnapping and the murder of the three in the yeshiva, and the war that followed after that. And we have to continue to hold on to the feelings of achdus that came about at that time. It was a tremendous sense of achdus; everybody felt it, and specifically, I'm really gratified that Rabbi Shai Shechter has come to share some words with us. He made tremendous Kiddush Hashem this summer on behalf of the White Shul. You're the emissary to visit the homes of the three yeshiva houses, three families. You wrote about your experience, and that communication really went viral, and it brought tremendous chizuk to a tremendous number of people. And I felt that in preparation for Yom Yerayim and Yom Yerayim, it would be appropriate to hear some of your reflections on that and connection specifically to the Yom Yerayim. So I really thank you for coming, making the time to share with us your personal feelings.
Sure. There's a very beautiful medrash that's quoted in the Hakdama to the Ein Yaakov. I'm sure many of us have heard it along the way, somewhere in yeshiva, but it's always worth a nice chazara. The Medrash has a machlokes, three Tanaim have a disagreement. What is the most fundamentally important element of Kala Torah Kula? What is the most fundamentally important mitzvah of Kala Torah Kula? So, if I would have taken, you know, a smattering of ideas, what people would think is the most important halacha, what's the most important mitzvah in Kala Torah Kula, I probably would not have come up with these three. Two of them are quite obvious, the third one is a little bit more surprising. First, says the Medrash, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is the most fundamentally important pasuk in Kala Torah Kula. Makes a lot of sense. It's all about our relationship, Bein Adam LaMakom, how we relate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what He means to us. Obviously, that's something that's very important. Then the Medrash says the next Tana disagrees, and he says, no, V'ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha, like we know the Gemara says, Zek La'Godah B'Torah. So that's the second opinion in the Medrash, is the most important pasuk, and obviously that also makes sense, because that sort of shows us, it signifies all of the mitzvahs Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Once we've gotten through the Bein Adam LaMakom, obviously we need to work on our Bein Adam LaChaver. But then, there's a surprising third sheet in the Medrash, and that is that the most fundamentally important pasuk in Kala Torah Kula is this, Esakevus Echad Ta'asem HaBoker, Esakevus HaSheni Ta'aseh Bein Arbaim. It's a Pella. The Mefarshim already bothered with this. What does it mean? How can you say that the Karban Talmud is the most important pasuk in all the Torah? What do you mean? It doesn't make any sense. Why is that more important than Tefillin, than Talis, than Tzitzis, anything else? It's very strange, it's very hard to understand. So the way the Mefarshim explain this is that obviously there's a lot deeper meaning behind what the Medrash actually is telling us on the face value, but one of the pshatim that the Bali Musar say is perhaps what the Medrash is getting at is the day-to-day struggle. Esakevus hachad ta'aseh baboker, esakevus hasheni ta'aseh bein harbayim, that we struggle in the day-to-day. The Karban Talmud really signifies all the struggles that we have every day, all the little things that we do. Are we going to have kavanah during Shmona Esrei? Are we going to pull out our cell phones during davening? Are we going to wear our tefillin and actually realize what we're doing? Think about l'mantia teres Hashem b'ficha. Are we going to pick up the phone during Seder? Are we going to ignore the text message? That's the kevus echad ta'aseh baboker. It's the day-to-day when, you know, we have those challenges that aren't so blatant, that aren't so obvious. That is also a very important pasuk. And when I think about this medrash, I don't want to take away too much time from shir, but I feel that it's a description of the summer that I had this past summer. And that's what I want to just expound on for a couple of minutes. Number one, the aspect of Emunah B'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the aspect of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. I don't know how many people were following everything that was going on in the summer. I would imagine people were in camp and, you know, had to focus their attention on how to figure out how to talk to the kids about this and how to deal with it. But for those who had a chance, and I encourage and urge anyone who has a chance before Rosh Hashanah, I think it's a very important Musar Haskel for all of us. And Mikam Olam De'Iskalti. You never know who you're going to learn a big message from. But this, to me, was a very incredibly powerful message. There was a rally by the Kotel in the middle of the encounter of the 18 days when the boys were missing. And there's a video that was, you know, became pretty popular that, you know, happened on that occasion, and it was really, it was not planned. It was something that just happened, it was candid. And the discussion broke out between three teenage girls and Racheli Frankel, the mother of one of the boys who was missing, Naftali, where the girls asked her, you know, they had a big Tehillim rally, and they asked her, what are you going to feel if the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't answer our tefillos? What are you going to feel if, after all the schusim that are being amassed throughout the world, after all the different mitzvahs, after all the davening, after all the Tehillim rallies, what happens if your son doesn't come back alive? What are you going to say then? And Mrs. Frankel, in her incredible amunah, responded that, I don't think you girls understand, but God doesn't work for us. He's not on our payroll. And she found nothing wrong with the fact that sometimes the answer is no. And even if we daven and we do mitzvahs and we do things and we want and we beg and we wish, and there are certain things that we think will be the conclusion, and sometimes it doesn't pan out the way we want it to, as happened in this situation, unfortunately, the mother of the boy herself said that she sees nothing wrong with it, that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't work for us. And I feel when we go into a Yom Na'araim, I don't think there could be a more powerful message for us when we daven for certain things to think about that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't work for us. He asks us to do his mitzvahs, he asks us to keep his Torah, he asks us to daven every day, and we want certain things in our tefillos, and we want certain schusim to work for us, but they don't always work. and that's not a problem. It's not something to get upset about. It's not something to be depressed about, that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't always give us what we think we need. He knows better what we need than what we think we need. And it's not something to get bent out of shape. So that's number one. When we saw, and we all saw it, this surrender to Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, how strong these people held on to their emunah, and how they continued to hold. I have to tell you that last week I got together with the Shira family. They were in New York, and then they were in Los Angeles, just interestingly enough. I happened to be in Los Angeles last week, so we got together both here and there. And the amount of times, you know, you would expect that after they go through such an experience, the amount of times that they say, Be'ezrat Hashem, you know, we're so lucky, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this for us, and he arranged that for us, and everything's great, and the kids are doing well, and the schools are being so kind, and like, everything's Baruch Hashem, and you can't imagine, and Amir Hashem, we're going to see you, and we're going to this, and like, they have such a strong connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's just amazing to watch. After everything they go through, there's no frustration, there's no upsetness at all, they're not questioning anything that happened. They're pretty okay with it. In fact, in the middle of the Shloshim, I've been in constant contact with Mrs. Shire, and in the middle of the Shloshim, she sent me a text one day, you know, can I talk to you? I said, sure. So I called her on the phone, and she made a comment which was just so incredibly amazing. She said, you know, there was one comment that was said earlier, and another comment that was said during Shloshim. The comment that was said earlier, in the middle of the Shiva already, was Some of the parents made the same comment. I was in all three Shiva houses, and I think two or three of them out of the six had said the same idea. And that was, you know how many years we've been waiting to go through all the different basements in Hebron to see what's going on down there? And we never had a good excuse. The world would have killed us if we just started combing through Hebron and trying to see what was going on. So she said, you know what a bracha it is that we had 18 days when the boys were dead already. We didn't even know. But we had 18 days that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us bechazdo, that the Israeli army was able to go and sift through all the basements in Hebron and uncover things that they never knew about. What a bracha. Just understanding the perspective that these people have of the chesed, of the brachas that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us, it's really overwhelming when you think about it. You know, we think sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam's not so good to us because, oh, you know, the air conditioner doesn't work today, or because, you know, my car broke down. It's like we're so pathetic when we think of ourselves in the grand scheme of life and in the grand scheme of things, how real Ma'aminim HaKadosh Baruch Hu think about the chesed and the brachas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants them. And one last story in that regard is that in the middle of the Shloshim, Mrs. Shire said to me the following. She said, you know, I don't know if you read, but, you know, there was the army let out some sort of hoda'ah or something that apparently there was supposed to be this massive terrorist attack on Rosh Hashanah. This is what they say. And they were supposed to infiltrate Eretz Yisrael through all the different tunnels. Hundreds of terrorists, the biggest mass murder that they've had in many, many years. So she said to me, can you imagine? My son has the schus to stop all of this? What a schus we feel. That the Ribbono Shel Olam gave our family the schus that we were able to save so many thousands of lives that would have been killed, that would have been taken. So when you see things in the perspective that these kind of special individuals see things, it really puts all of our questions into a different perspective. Very often we all have questions, and no one should feel uncomfortable about the fact that they might have questions sometimes. It's fine, it's normal, it's natural. Emunah is something that we have to make a leap for. It's something that we have to jump toward. It's not so easy. We're supposed to have questions, and that's why we come to the Emunah. But when we watch how people who really should have questions, who really should have doubts, yet they put themselves out and explain to the rest of the world that they don't have any doubt and that they're comfortable with the situation that they find themselves in, as difficult as it might be, it's just something for us to be mechazik ourselves through. The second point that I want to discuss is this idea of Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. And that is what the Medrash tells us is the second most important pasuk in Kol HaTorah Kula. You know, there's a famous joke that they say that where there are two Jews, so you're going to have at least three or four hundred opinions. But if there's one thing that I learned this summer, and I think all of us learned, it's that even if you have millions of Jews spanning thousands of Jewish communities all over the world and all over the continents, we all have one collective, sensitive, caring, and most compassionate heart. And that's something that's obvious. It's something that all of us saw. And just to give a few examples for those who might not be aware, when I was in Talmon, visiting, being Menachem Avil by the Shire family, and then I ended up spending Shabbos with them in the community as well. they, you know, different members of the community were telling me what was happening throughout the 18 days when the boys were missing. And one thing that they said was that every single day, the Coca-Cola trucks were pulling into the community and just dropping off free drinks for everybody because it was boiling hot, it was in the middle of the summer, and they knew that the community was just busy doing whatever they had to do, and the reporters were busy outside doing what they had to do, and the politicians were coming, and everyone was doing what they were supposed to do, but who's going to provide the drinks? And there were farmers coming with fresh fruits and fresh vegetables, just dropping off every day, not sending a bill, not asking any questions, just putting it down. In fact, they even had shilas about Trumas and Maishas. They had no idea who these people were or what the kashrus was. But you see how beautiful Klal Yisrael is. You see how beautiful we are, that we care about each other. When I was there, there were families from the yeshuv walking up and down the streets. You know, there were hundreds of people outside. And the families are walking up and down the streets, giving out sandwiches, tuna, egg salad, whatever you want, different options of different things. And then perhaps I did something that's a little bit maybe nosy of me, but I'm happy that I did it anyway. On the way into the Shiva house, so there were books outside in which they wanted everybody to write what mikzoa you personally excel in. What's your personal, what's your personal area of expertise? I'm not Israeli, I'm an American, but I don't know. Mikzoa is a better word. So they wanted everybody to write which mikzoa you're best at, and when you have a chance to give of your expertise to the family that's grieving, to the family that's going through a hard time. So I decided, instead of writing down my mikzoa, because I don't consider myself to have that many mikzoas, so I decided instead of writing my own, I'm going to read through everybody else's. There were like hundreds of pages of people that wrote things there. So I was just flipping through, hoping nobody would notice, and nobody did. Everyone was busy doing their own thing. And just some of the things that I saw were so amazing. There was a plumber who came from Tel Aviv to be Menachem Avil. He didn't know this family. So he writes in there, by the way, I want you to know I'm a plumber, and I've been doing this for 25 years, and I'm off on Wednesdays. That's the way my company has it set up. So any Wednesday which you feel that you ever need help with a plumber, you should feel free to call me. It's on the house. Don't worry about it. It's okay, pro bono. I saw that a therapist wrote in there that every day, she's from Beit Shemesh, every day she finishes work at 3:30, and she said she doesn't give her children dinner until 7 o'clock. So she said between 3:30 and 7 o'clock, I have off every day. And I would be more than happy to provide therapy, to provide comfort to anybody in this family who feels that they might need or might be able to use my help. I saw that there was a girl from another community who wrote that she has off in the summer. She's getting ready for college next year. And she said that anybody who's busy doing something to help this family, she will come over and babysit their children, because who's going to watch the kids when the parents are busy doing what they have to do? So she said she's happy to come, and she said she'll provide pizza. There's nothing to worry about. She spoke to the pizza shop in her community, and they agreed that they would give pizza whenever she came to babysit. So everything should be, everything's fine, everything's taken care of. I remember when I was there as well, Mrs. Frankel made a comment that the Attorney General came to their home. The Attorney General, American Attorney General, came because their son is an American citizen. So he came and he made a comment to her like, you know, we're going to do everything we can while the boys are missing. We're going to do everything we can. He's an American citizen. We're going to do everything we can in America's power to bring him home. And she said back to him, he was shocked, but she said back to him that if you're not interested in working on all three of them, I'm not interested in having my son home either. It's a sense of achrayus. It's a sense of kol Yisrael ha'ravim zeh b'zeh that we've never had before. It's such an unprecedented idea. So sincere. How much they mean this, caring for other people. And for that matter, she was willing to give up on her own son because she said there should be no difference between an American citizen and two Israeli citizens. If they're all missing, then we have to look for all them. And if you're just going to work for my own son and make some sort of deal to bring back the American citizen, I'm not interested in the whole thing. I'd rather all of them be killed than to have my own son back and risk the lives of the other. So that's the second thing which I felt was very, very obvious and very impressive for us to learn from in this past this experience of the past summer. And the third idea is that idea of a sakeves achad taseh baboker, a sakeves hasheni taseh bein harabayim, the consistency of life. And that is when there are no more spotlights shining on them, when all the news agencies took leave, when there are no more politicians coming in and out of the house, and the Rosh HaMemshalah is not visiting you anymore. And now it's back down to the regular basics of Avodat Hashem. What are you doing on a day-to-day? How are you leading your life? I have to tell you that there are certain things that we do, and all of us do, that will never be publicized. No one's going to talk about them. And no one's going to make a big deal about them, but we have to realize that they are a big deal. That consistency that we follow is a big deal. The Shire family, just for one example, you would think you would hear this in Bnei Brak, but we're talking about just like a simple community that they live in. They glue Divrei Torah to the back of the cereal boxes in their house so that the children won't waste time when they're eating breakfast in the morning. I'm not talking about like wild fanatics. I'm not talking about crazy people. I'm talking about people who are normal, God-fearing Jews who just don't want their kids to waste time while they eat breakfast. So they tape on the back some nice, cute Divrei Torah. I've never heard of such a thing. I grew up in a pretty chush of a house myself. And my parents didn't do that for me. I don't have tainas on them, but it's just a certain thing that these small day-to-day actions that they do that nobody notices, nobody knows about. It's not something that they started now that their son died. Oh, le'ilui nishmas. This is something that they raised their kids doing all the years. It's not a new thing. It's just amazing when you think about the actions that people are willing to take. When I was there for Shabbos in the middle of the Shiva, I watched Mr. Shire, Ophir, I watched him bring his little girls to the shiurim that were going on Shabbos. And Abel is also B'divrei Torah, obviously, so he wasn't allowed to attend. You know, it's Abelis B'Fra Hesia, it's a whole Shire. Is he allowed to attend, not allowed to attend? But leave him out of the picture. They have shiurim there for each grade. Every grade meets in a different house, and a different father gives the shiur every Shabbos. So he brought all his daughters. What's the difference? We're in the middle of Shiva. My daughters are on the bas mitzvah. So Shabbos is Shabbos. Just the commitment, the seriousness, coming to shul in the middle of Shiva, not being embarrassed, coming on Shabbos, not worrying about what everyone's going to look around over their shoulder. Oh, he's here, he's not here, he's crying, he's not crying. There's nothing to worry about. I have to do what I have to do. The Rabbanu Shalom says I have to go to shul and daven, that's what I'm doing. The Rabbanu Shalom says I have to bring my kids to listen to a shir, that's what I'm going to do. And it doesn't make a difference what's going on. That, in fact, is the test of where our commitment is holding. The Navi tells us, Lo Barash Hashem, Lo Ba'esh Hashem. We know that if you're looking for the Ribbono Shalom's presence, you're not going to find it in the publicity, in the pomp, in the fanfare. That's not where it is. And that's why I'm very uncomfortable for myself speaking about this in public. I've been invited by almost every school in the tri-state area to speak. I'm not comfortable with it because that's not what it's about. We're losing focus. I think for B'nai Torah, it's a little bit more understandable that this is not my experience, this is the experience of the Jewish people, and that's all I'm trying to convey. I think for younger children, it's harder for them to grasp that. That's why I'm not comfortable speaking there. But what I'm trying to share is that it's about our commitment that we do day to day. It's not about the fanfare, it's not about everyone looking at what we said and what we're doing and how we're doing. It's about how we relate to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the day to day. You know, the Medrash, the Gemara tells us, I'm sorry, in Shulchan Aruch it's quoted as well, Shofar echad amar achmana v'lo shtayim v'shlosha shofaros. And obviously that means a halachic concept that you have to have a shofar. That's why you're not allowed to have different parts of the shofar. The shofar has to be one. Because shofar echad amar achmana v'lo shtayim v'shlosha shofaros. And I think that for us, just to take a little bit of a Musar Haskel from that as well, just to spin it a little bit, al derech hadrash, is that we have to have one recurrent theme in the way we lead our lives. Obviously, we come to shul on Yom Narayim and we're serious and we're davening. And we come to the Beis Medrash and we learn in the Aseret Hamitzvah and we're serious about it and we're committed and we want. But we have to have one voice throughout our lives and throughout the year. Shofar Echad Amar Rachmana means the attitude that we lead our own lives in has to be one. It has to be something that's congruent with the way that we act in the Beis Medrash and the way that we act in the Beis HaKnesses. It can't be different in the way we act in the other areas of our life. That's the Keves Achad Taseh Baborka. It has to be a unified message that comes out of our lives and that other people should see. Not that we're trying to show it off, but other people just by osmosis, by watching just the Pashut way that we live, it's something that's for us to think about at this point in the year. It's something very serious for us to think about. Just to end, the Kedushas Levi writes a very famous Vart, others quoted from him as well, that the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Im Ta'iru Vim Ta'oru HaSa'avat Shatechvat, so the Kedushas Levi takes it al derech HaDrash a little as well, and he says that if a person has a Hisorus, Im Ta'iru Vim Ta'oru, if you're awoken by something that's going on around you, Ad Shatechvat, so a person has to make sure that he doesn't leave that experience before creating a Chayfetz out of it. Which means that if we don't concretize the feelings that we have, the inspiring moments that we have, then the whole experience is lost. We know that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz writes about it as well, that's why in the Gemara in Sanhedrin we're told about Natz Cherev Bebeis HaMedrash, that sometimes you have to do something drastic in order to make sure that you keep the experience that you had, to keep the inspiration that you had. Now obviously the Yom Naram were all inspired, but also when you go through an experience of this type of nature, when we have an experience that Klal Yisrael molds together and comes unified for one purpose, when Klal Yisrael shows how much they care for one another, we need to make that into a chavetz. And if we don't do something to make sure that we are going to hold on to that experience, then the whole experience is really lost. And I feel, just from my experience, one tremendous thing that I've learned that I feel is very easy for all of us to learn from this is that so often we see people suffering or we see people having a hard time in many different tchumim, many different areas, whatever it might be. They're sick, they have some sort of loss, they suffer for whatever tragedy it might be. And we say to ourselves, what can we do? I can't do anything. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a therapist. I really can't help them. I don't have money. I can't, you know, offer them whatever they need. I just can't. It's not in my range of opportunity to really help people. And one thing that I learned is, I can't tell you how uncomfortable I was traveling to Eretz Yisrael on behalf of our shul. And the whole flight I'm sitting and wondering, what am I going to say to them and how am I supposed to open the conversation, which you're not supposed to open the conversation anyway, but I was just very uncomfortable. You know, we all go to Shiva homes, unfortunately, and we feel uncomfortable. Like, what am I going to say? And they're going to think, you're so weird, you're coming, what are you doing, or what do you know me? And one thing that I learned was that there are things that we can do. Because when a person just shows other people that they care, and that they're willing to listen, and you're willing to hear, and that there's another Jew in the world who's willing just to spend a few minutes wishing you a good Shabbos, doing something nice, showing their appreciation to you and how much they care about the suffering that you're going through, that goes a very long way. It's something I never thought I would have an experience like this. I never thought that I would be able to make a relationship with a family that's really having a hard time, that's really suffering. And I think that all of us can really take upon ourselves to do something to make somebody feel a little bit better from that matzah in Eretz Yisrael. I think it's very easy for us to, we Google everything else. It's not that hard to Google an address of, you know, a family who lost a member this summer in the Melchama, or even these families who lost their children and they're suffering, to let them know that we care, that we're Jews in America who haven't forgotten about them, that we take it seriously, that it really impacted our lives, just to write them a letter. It goes a really long way. It makes a difference to them. We shouldn't think that it doesn't. Last week when I met with the Shires, I'm teaching in BMP this year, I asked all the boys in BMP, if anyone was inspired or impacted in any way by what happened this summer, I want you to write a letter to them and I'll give it. And it was amazing. The response was amazing. Some of the kids left the room. They were uncomfortable. Fine, you're uncomfortable. It's not for you. But all the kids who did stay and write letters wrote such incredibly powerful messages. And I gave it to them. We were eating lunch together in the city last week. And I gave it to them. They were sitting there reading them, just crying, realizing how Americans care. They have to know that we care, and they have to know that we're interested in their suffering and that we've gained from it and we learned something from the experience. Not that it takes away the pain. It just makes it easier for them to know that there are so many people behind them. There are so many people who care and who are interested in what's going on. And I think just if we can take away one chafetz, like the Kedushas Levi writes, if we could just make a chafetz out of that one point, to take upon ourselves just to look into one aspect of how we can make somebody else feel a little bit more comfortable with their tragedy or with their suffering that they're going through. It's just one Eitzah Tova, maybe Liskos V'Yamadin, but even without the Yamadin, something for us to think about throughout our lives and something to take seriously, that we can make a difference even when we feel we don't have the expertise to make the difference. We could make people feel a little bit better about the pain and suffering that they have. Thank you again. And Aksivach Simatova, good tiara to everybody. Thank you, Rabbi.